Welcome back to the That's So Cincinnati podcast. Usually I'm in the co-hosting chair, but as fate would have it, I'm hosting once again with my colleague, trending news reporter, Hadiza Abude.
Hello.
I'm so excited that you're making your podcasting debut because it's a special edition of That's So Cincinnati because it's 513 day.
So yeah.
It's like the most Cincinnati podcast ever. But also, for those of you who don't know what 513 day is, May 13th is almost like Cincinnati's unofficial holiday, celebrating the city's iconic area code. So, in honor for it, I do want to ask, like, what is your most Cincinnati thing you've done? Because you're from West Virginia.
I am. And I've been here for about 4 years. Definitely the most Cincinnati thing I've done is learn how to make Cincinnati chili, which
really?
I feel like I've perfected. It's really grown on me. So,
do you think yours is better than
yes.
the chili chain? No hesitation.
Not to offend anyone, but yes.
What's different with yours? Do you put the cinnamon or chocolate in it?
Yeah, I do the cinnamon. I do the chocolate,
okay.
The whole nine yards.
Okay.
I make it thicker, which I think is the
key. Like the Texas style?
Yeah, it's like Texas style consistency, Cincinnati flavor.
Mm.
So get into it.
Yeah, you need to make that for Thanksgiving. Make it for Thanksgiving and bring it in for the office.
Yeah.
So I want to try it. I think my most Cincinnati thing, I'm also not from here. I'm from Springfield, but I went to NKU across the river. So I feel like I've been a Cincinnatian for the past, I don't know, what is it, like 7, 8 years? Oh my gosh.
Almost a decade.
I feel like, honestly, supporting the sports teams, that's the most Cincinnati as it gets. You know, like, I forget who I was talking to, but I feel like everybody was thinking that the Reds are going to be so amazing this year because they did have a really strong start and then, you know, they were slumping a little bit. I'm like, you guys, this is what happened. Okay.
That's also
what
I heard.
Yeah.
I heard they were going to be good this year a couple weeks ago and I guess they're not now.
They lost last night. They won on Mother's Day and then lost last night. So,
well, there's still hope. It's only May.
It
they
is.
Have, what,
it is.
6 months or however long baseball
yeah,
lasts.
Like October.
Yeah.
Sports ball. Yeah. Alrighty, well, let's welcome on our special guest for this episode. So we're going to jump right into the special guest segment of this episode. And today we have founder and executive director of this independent film festival, Allison West. We're so happy to have you. Unfortunately, Burl couldn't make it. So you have me and Hadiza with you today.
Hello.
So a little background into what Cindependent currently has going on. The organization's leading the reopening of the historic Marymount Theater with the hopes to bring back movies while also building a year-round home for Cindependent film in Cincinnati. So could you just speak to what that process has been like and what does reopening the theater entail?
Yes. And first of all, I want to thank both of you, you wonderful angels, for having me here today.
Of course.
Thank
Thanks
you.
For being here.
Yeah. I love everything Cindependent and I love talking about it. Independent film is like the most special medium in the world. Media, right, is great. You can talk, you can communicate, you can share ideas quickly. So much of what Cindependent does is helping people who are in media or in film or have cool ideas make those ideas come to life.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm all about seeing people succeed with their ideas and their feelings. And that's like totally the Cindependent way. So man, the question, what has the process of like reopening the Marymount Theater been like? It's been a lot. We did not have this on our bingo card for 2026. Hilariously, we do this big team kickoff. So Cindependent has a really, really, really small professional staff. And that's new. Our film festival merged with Over the Rhine International Film Festival. And that really unlocked the opportunity for us to start investing in the people, including myself, who make these programs run. Where we are today is fueled by civic volunteerism. There is like a 34 person planning team that works on Cindependent events year round, including the festival, who are like the best innovators and leaders in film in Cincinnati. I'm sorry, now I'm really on the soapbox. It will all come back together, I promise. But we are in touch with so many filmmakers a year and we get to meet hundreds of people who love film in Cincinnati. And so a lot of our work is about responding to this community, right? Like, what do people actually want to see? What's actually the ideas that are shaking people up? And then how do we make those become part of our day-to-day life?
Yeah.
So we, at the beginning of the year, planned this massive festival kickoff meeting where we look at the year ahead. And probably days before that meeting, I was inserting slides about the Marymount Theater because it was really starting to come online in a big way for us. The experience over the last 3 months has been nuts. We've only had a signed lease on that space for, I'd have to go back and look at my calendar, but it's somewhere within 6 to 10 weeks. Mm-hmm. And we, as much planning as we could do ahead of time to start laying out what the path forward would be, that has really gotten so much more informed with us actually physically in the space.
Yeah.
The space needs a lot of work. It really needs a lot of work. Mm-hmm. It is a 5 auditorium art house cinema in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
It's a unicorn. It is unheard of that this kind of space exists. And we are looking at how do we present for the community all of this work and all of these ideas that people are telling us they want to see while rebuilding the space for sustainability, getting all this projection equipment in there to make sure that we can actually play the movies that we need to play. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we're kind of like in it and learning it and building it all at the same time. It's invigorating.
Yeah.
It's completely invigorating. I don't know how many cool projects you get to tackle in your day-to-day life, but I know that it can be rare. You know, I've had a whole career.
This is
huge. Yeah,
it's a big project.
It's huge. Yeah. It's huge. But there are so many people who are lending their expertise, who are lending their volunteerism, who are talking with me, who are helping me flesh this out. And I really love talking to people and then setting up the systems that get things done.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are some of the ideas the Marymount community has been sharing with you about the theater?
Well, everybody wants like delicious popcorn in
that's
the space.
A big thing. It's,
Cincinnati loves its snacks.
Yeah.
Right.
It's so
today 513 day. Is that today?
It's a very special episode.
Yes. For all who celebrate.
Yes. That's great. My Instagram was blowing up with like, I'm eating all the Cincinnati food today. Yeah. And I was like, I got to stop looking at this because it's like fat bombs and sugar is what we have here. And now it's going to be the popcorn too. Mm. So the community really wants this to become a gathering space. And so I do feel strongly that cinemas are one of those places where you can flow in and out.
Yeah.
You can be known or you can be unknown as you're in the space. The ability to like turn your phone off and sit quietly next to somebody is kind of a powerful feeling.
Yes.
Especially in today's day and age.
Absolutely.
It's really powerful. And so I'm taking that feedback and looking at ways to encourage gathering in front of the theater and inside of it. Mm-hmm. We will likely add patio furniture.
Oh,
yeah. To
exciting.
The front. So, you know, if you're meeting a friend there, you can sit down and wait. There will be seating on the inside. I think some of our supplemental programming will also help people kind of connect and gather. Everybody wants to continue seeing art house films there, mm-hmm. which we will continue to do. Mm-hmm. We're going to take what was there and, you know, what was there was pretty great and we're going to make it even greater.
Yeah.
So we're going to continue to have some really high quality film offerings. But then things like, if we invite a filmmaker back to Cincinnati, we could show their movie and then do a talk back with them in that space. And those are ways for the people of Cincinnati to look at creative entrepreneurship and start to model that behavior to kind of solve their own ideas. I really think that filmmakers are creative entrepreneurs and talking to them is so funny because the things that you have to solve for on film sets are hilarious and varied and very specific. Somebody told me once they did a commercial that had like 20 wigs. They'd never done anything with wigs in it before. They're like, well, now I know how to do wigs.
Yeah.
And so they, you know, you get to like talk to people who have these really unique things they're working on and learn how they approached that problem and then how they solved it too.
Yeah, it's really cool. So I guess with all of these like new changes, what do you hope people feel like the first time they walk in through the doors?
The first time is such a great thought because the first time people come back to the space is going to be different than what I hope people feel eventually in that space. Redoing the space is going to take a ton of moolah and that's going to be a process to mm-hmm. fundraise it, to implement it, yeah. to execute the changes over time. So when we reopen, I want people to feel welcomed back. I want them to celebrate what we have all done together. And I really want them to feel welcome in this space. Long term, I want people to walk into that cinema and know that it is special. Mm-hmm. It is a really special spot for them to be. In my mind, we have like these really beautiful, sexy chairs. Mm-hmm. There's cool lighting on there. The interior matches the exterior, and there's kind of this historic legacy cinema nature to what it is.
Yeah.
I want filmmakers, whether they're local or they're coming from the coast, who are coming here to premiere their work, I want them to feel like this is that special moment they worked so hard for. Mm-hmm. And I want the audiences around them to feel special for being in the room too.
Yeah, it's a lot different because I feel like, you know, a lot of the bigger theaters here, like the AMC or the Cinemark or whatever. So this is like a whole new beast for Cincinnati in a way.
I love it. Yeah. And the theater, you know, it is 88 years old. It has shared decades mm-hmm. of memories in that space. The stuff people tell me about their special memories with that theater, it is, it should be a beacon for the community. It should be a beacon regionally. And community cinemas and nonprofit cinemas, I think, are the wave of what is to come for cinema in general.
Yeah. So do you,
I was just going to ask, like, speaking of like the nonprofit mm-hmm. model, how do you think that will like change the theater experience for guests? You kind of mentioned that you'll still be showing a lot of the art house mm-hmm. movies and such. Yeah.
I think so. If I'm going to walk back into my own brain for a second, cinema, the business of cinema is super thin, razor thin. If we sell you a movie ticket and that ticket's $10, 50% on average of that admission goes back to the distributor, the person that we rent the movies from. Okay. So, you know, if let's say you reported $500,000 of ticket sales, that's actually only $250,000 of available revenue for a cinema. Cinemas then, of course, make more revenue by doing advertising, private rentals, concession sales, and probably alcohol sales too. Mm-hmm. It really is such a tricky and interesting matrix to pull it off. In a nonprofit model, we program in response to the community so that people who say things like, you know what, I would really love to see a French film series, or I'd really love to explore black and white films from the 1920s, or I really would like to do a whole segment on, oh my gosh, what is his name? I can see his face, but I can't remember his name. The dude, Ryan Coogler. Ryan Coogler is so good. Yes. He's so crazy. He's so crazy. Like exploring people's work or their minds, we can build programming with the community that kind of helps us all explore our minds. At the same time, that kind of programmatic investment, I also ask the community to steward this with us. Mm-hmm. And I try to explain to them like, guess what, guys, if we're just a for-profit business trying to make a buck here, it's going to be really, really, really hard. Yeah. But in a nonprofit model, we can work alongside the community to program together. And at the same time, kind of like ask the community to invest in the space alongside us. So we started a membership called Friends of the Marymount Theater. Mm-hmm. It is, it's similar to like what you, the kind of memberships that
like
you would
AMC
see at a museum.
Well,
almost right now, it's kind of like what you would see at the Cincinnati Art Museum.
Okay. Okay.
You know, we're because you love the ideas, mm-hmm. the museum quality ideas and programs in the space, you support them.
Yeah.
When we do reopen and we have movies to show, those will convert into some free movie tickets and concession discounts and then cool events and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But we just don't have that stuff right now. You know, we don't have projectors in the space. We don't have any audio equipment in the space that works. Actually, we got a microphone yesterday on a speaker on a stick because I had to do a presentation and the microphone lights up. So I was like doing karaoke. You know,
like the old carpool karaoke.
Yes.
Microphone.
Yeah. What a fun game. Maybe we should bring it back here.
Yeah.
What do you think? Maybe?
Yeah,
yes.
I think
great.
So. Yeah.
You know, a community cinema, a nonprofit cinema is engaging the pieces of us that are civically minded and asking the community to protect and steward this space together. I lead that. I organize that, right? I make sure that there are plans in place to see that through, but I can't do it alone. Mm-hmm. And so we ask everybody to work alongside us to just make something beautiful happen in the world, right?
Yeah. I do want to know what was left in the theater.
Like, garbage.
Really?
Tons of junk.
Really?
Tons of junk.
So what is it? Kind of shape is it in right now?
It's not in great shape. Okay. It's not in any sort of like.
And it closed early February.
Mm-hmm,
and
yeah.
How long after it closed did you get the lease for it?
Probably 4 to 5 weeks later.
Okay.
We were in there cleaning it up right away.
Yeah.
So the landlords who own that property, Sindependent, and I just am saying this because people are so confused. We did not buy this building. This is a new threshold for our nonprofit in so many different ways. We are tenants of this space and guardians of the galaxy as well. You can tell I'm a movie person. It just flows so easily at times. So when we got into the space, anything valuable had been taken out. So any projection equipment that could actually be usable had been taken out. Mm-hmm. All the concession stand stuff had been taken out. All of the garbage that wasn't wanted was left. So we had to get a dumpster and start carrying it out and cleaning up the space. And a lot of the seats had been dismantled, actually. Okay. So of the five auditoriums, three of the houses, all the seats had been stripped with only the fixtures in there. So we saw it as an opportunity. Honestly, we got in and we cleaned the floors because now you can actually scrub down those long rows, and thank God for this community. People came together and cleaned the fixtures in the space. Like, it doesn't smell as bad as it did.
Yeah.
Right. We could vacuum and really get in there. And then we asked for a bunch of really patient, highly skilled volunteers with tool sets to come in and help rebuild those seats. If those seats weren't going to go back together, that would have been another $400,000 to $500,000 that we were going to need to fundraise. And so I needed to know that as soon as possible.
Yeah.
And then we started kind of getting to work and building the shape of what we're continuing to refine and execute now. Yeah. So the lease negotiations took a bit. You know, you don't just sign a standard lease if you have some partnership.
Right.
And so we had to look carefully through that about how do we set this up long-term. Again, theaters, our membership right now for a few years is helping us during this transition phase. It will help us over the next couple of years while we improve the financial footing of the business that operates in the space. Mm-hmm. But I do think that the model we have will be able to sustain itself over time. That then will open up this membership to support catastrophes. Like if a projector goes out, we could, as we've all come together, kind of prepare and replace that or help us deepen all of our programming that we offer to the community.
Yeah. So how does this project, you know, since community has been really involved, how does this project connect to Cincinnati's broader creative and economic future?
Mm-hmm. What a wonderful question.
Thank you.
Have you ever been to a film festival?
No.
Right?
Have you?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, heck yeah.
Yeah.
Yes,
we had
it.
An independent art house theater in my college. Yeah.
What cool. Where'd you go to school?
Ohio University.
Yeah. Cool. The broader creative economy, right? Everything has a media aspect to it nowadays, which means that there's a lens involved and there's usually a record button, right? That's the basis of film. Period. How do we use this tech to express ourselves? Then film in Cincinnati is the basis of everything that is to come, right? Mm-hmm. So when we started Cindependent in 2017 and had our first film festival in 2018, we were heavily filmmaker focused, and the festival still is heavily filmmaker focused. We invite close to 200 artists to come to Cincinnati and experience this with us. And when these filmmakers come here, we want them to leave with more resources than they had walking in the door. That's what gets them here in the first place.
Yeah.
So when we start engaging with that number of artists over the course of a year, we start to find all of these ripple effects, things that really did push us into doing year-round programming. When we are connecting with artists, when we are programming alongside them, alongside the community, we start to create all of these good new ideas that come born of an individual, right? You could come to a movie at the Marymount Theater. You could talk to a filmmaker about something that you saw or something that you learned, and then that will spur a new idea for you. Mm-hmm. It's likely that the two of you will meet a lot of people in media if you were to come to Cindependent events and continue getting an inflow of new ideas that then relate to your own work. Even Phil here, a professional Phil.
With one L.
You know, the amount of conversation you can have with your peers is enormous. Mm-hmm. And we find that people are curious about how to use cameras, and people are curious not only about like, how do I make a stop motion video, which I've done with my 8-year-old daughter, mm-hmm. and how do I edit my home videos that one of my friends who has 5 kids is trying to figure out herself. But it also is like, how do I hear something and then take that idea and turn it into a story? We have photographers who are interested in being a part of this. We see performance dancers and artists. We like people who just love playing with the physical media in and of itself. I want to do a new art activation where I project onto balloons. You know, like, there's just all this crazy stuff that happens.
That'd and be cool for Blink.
Yeah, I was gonna say Blink.
That would
perhaps.
Be. That's a great idea.
Partnership.
Blink, call me up. Call me Blink. Please. They said so. So call me. What Cincinnati needs is a home that harnesses that energy. And that is what the Marymount Theater lends to Cindependent, and then what Cindependent can grow out of that space. It should be a hub for creativity.
Yeah,
for sure. And so do you see this as something that could, I guess, like what you were saying, spark more investment into the arts locally?
Truly. So, and I think a really perfect example of this is that last year at our 2025 film festival, we met this artist named Jack Pyatt. He had this short film that he was taking out on the film festival scene. And then one of our alumni had met him in New York and told him, you absolutely have to submit to Cindependent. It's the best film festival ever, which I love. Katie, thank you so much for saying that. Jack submitted. He came here. He's from Ohio, so he kind of liked doing this like little tour back, and everybody loved his movie. Everybody was like blown away. His movie was winning all these awards on the festival circuit. He started an Oscars run, and along the way we were very lucky to support his Oscars run with some media and some content that we had produced at the festival. He got shortlisted for the Oscars, then he became nominated for the Oscars, and this last March, he won.
No
way. For best live action short film. He tied. He was the tie for his film, The Singer, which he produced.
Wow.
We can show how the work that we do directly flows forward into, in his case, into something that is like very easily seen, very easily accepted by the industry. But those pathways forward are very unique and different for lots of different people. And do I think this work will increase an investment in the arts here? I really do, because film is very potent and very easy to digest. Everybody knows how to watch a screen, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's seeing those outcomes, I think, helps.
Yeah. And then, you know, with the evolution of the festival, can you speak like how the Cindependent Festival will evolve to year-round institution and what that will look like?
Well, I actually don't know the exact answer yet on like how the festival the festival is like, you know, again, the Marymount community and the programming that happens in Marymount is different than what we do at the festival, and they definitely relate, like they need each other, they really do. But I need to kind of walk them a little bit closer together to see really where the impact is. The festival merged with Over the Rhine International Film Festival this year, and so now Cindependent Film Festival presents presented with LAD is what we'll be offering this 2026. And that in and of itself starts to grow our presence downtown. So as the festival itself grows presence downtown and the Marymount Theater reopens and stabilizes, I'm managing both of these entities to see what is best for each of them collectively or individually. There's a world where the festival grows in downtown Cincinnati.
Absolutely.
And is part of downtown Cincinnati. And there's a world where it has arms in Marymount too. I want to make sure that we're making a thoughtful choice about how these things interact together and where we are with the theater and where we are with the festival. It's just going to take a little bit of time to know what's best.
Yeah. And the festival is September 16th.
September 16th yes. through 20th, 2026. Learn more at sindependentfilmfest.org. Get your tickets because the festival is so dynamic. It's yeah. the best.
Where is it held at?
Well, we hosted at Memorial Hall. Okay. It's such a beautiful space and it's kind of like compact. So you get to go in, if you buy a day pass, you go in and you get to see the films that are playing. You get to go to the artist talks. You can go to the live screenplay readings, the master classes, the deep dives, all this great stuff. And then, this year though, day one and day five has some, programming that happens at different places. We'll do Best of Fest screenings at, Marymount Theater on Sunday, and we do an awards brunch at the CAC. We also have a disability casting call that we're partnering with Ensemble Theater with on Wednesday, and then we'll do a big Wednesday welcome party at the Marymount Theater that night. And those awesome. Bookends of the Marymount Theater is kind of the first effort of walking these groups of people together, because the festival is really about emerging work, right? Mm-hmm. New yeah. stuff. And so we love a good story. You can see movies that come through by independent artists that are like very polished and very professional, that are very technically well done. And also sometimes you can find work from somebody who might be making their first film that is mm-hmm. still a very powerful story that has some technical, you know, imperfections, or mm-hmm. somebody doesn't have the resourcing that they need to get just the right camera that they want, or all the lighting that's not as polished, that's not as perfect, but we need a space for all of that stuff to exist alongside each other so that you can see the breadth of growth and, I don't know, ideas that people are making come alive in the world.
Yeah. Do you have anything?
Not really. Well, I was going to ask, what are some ways that listeners can get involved? And I know you're talking about the membership program, but are there other ways that?
Yeah. So Sindependent is a highly volunteer organization. I think that we have better ideas when we all find ways to work together. So if somebody is interested in volunteering alongside us, that work takes a variety of shapes right now. For example, we may be painting the theater in a few weeks, and yeah. we had volunteers who were helping us repair it. As we start doing events, we always need people to help staff tables or talk to artists or help us extend our work with a lot more visibility. The volunteer leadership is really important mm-hmm. within Sindependent. It is what has gotten us here today. People can also sign up for classes. They can enroll okay. their young children or, you know, young students into some of our high school film camps. They can come to the festival as a volunteer or as a patron to be a part of that energy. And then when we do reopen the cinema, I humbly ask people to be part of the solutions here. Come be part of this with us, and we will make a wonderful space together.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I know it is a beast of a project, but do you have a set timeline for the opening of the theater?
It is a shifty timeline, mm-hmm. but I do anticipate we'll be reopening in summer. And that Ooh. Exact date, I don't speak of.
Because you yeah. never know what will
happen. There's so yeah. many things. Yeah. There's so many things that are going into this. And Absolutely. Hypothetically, if our fundraising goes really great, we'll close out what is phase one, which is a simple reopen the theater campaign. Our phase one fundraising has to do with getting all the things we need mm-hmm. to put movies back on screen. Phase two is where we start funding renovations. Now, let's say we blow phase one out of the water, right? We start funding phase two. It's possible that we could be refreshing some of the space this summer as well. Mm-hmm. I would not allow it to hang up a reopening, but they may be happening in tandem. There's just so many shifting pieces of what's happening where and when
yeah.
that I will promise a date when I know what that date is.
Yes, yeah. I'll hold that's you to that. Yeah.
I love hearing you say that's understandable, because yeah, everybody's like, it really when is. Are you going to reopen? I'm like, I don't care. Stop emailing me. But don't, please, anybody who has ideas. Yeah. Yes, email me.
Yes. And then since it is 513 day, I do have to ask, are you from Cincinnati?
I'm not.
No,
no,
really?
But
where
I
are you from?
Love it. I'm from Texas.
No way.
Oh, yes. Okay. And I got to tell you, I'm just like a through and through person in the world. Like, I'm where I'm putting a foot down is truly where I'm walking.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be in Cincinnati if I didn't love it. And I love the people here. I love them so much. The people in Cincinnati are why Cindependent thrives. When you have a really beautiful community that is surrounding an artist, anything is possible. And in Cincinnati, because we're such a special city, the people that are around you likely know somebody that can help you with whatever project you're trying to tackle. Mm-hmm. So helping people resource amongst their neighbors and friends is really important to me. And I am happy to celebrate 513 Day because yes. I love Cincinnati.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, what's the most Cincinnati thing you've done?
Most Cincinnati thing I've ever done. I love this because it makes me think about like walking barefoot downtown or something. You know, it's yeah. like, it's not going to be any of the standard stuff. The most Cincinnati thing I've ever done. Well, we have, yes, I know. Cincinnati is a mascot town. Mm-hmm. Right. Mascots everywhere. We love all the Reds mascots.
Have like three.
True. Right. Yeah, we love Hude, so the football guy. We love mascots. We love Fiona, the zoos. Yes. She's yeah. the zoo mascot, unofficial mm-hmm. probably. In 2023, as we were reopening our film festival after all the COVID years, I was standing in Washington Park handing out flyers being like, come to my film festival, come to my film festival, come to my film festival. Nobody would take a flyer from a grown-up, right?
Yeah.
No, I'm the crazy person handing out stuff in the middle of the park. So I gave them to my kids, and I had my kids start running up and hanging. I was like, oh, the kids are so much cuter. People will take things from something that they like. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, we have to develop mascots. So Cindependent has two mascots. Their names are Crunchy and Bubs. One is a popcorn. One is a soda
Cute.
Pop. They're so adorable. They actually are based off of the personalities of my children.
That's adorable.
That's so yeah. funny. I actually yeah. have the little popcorn one yes, and little plushie. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. It's based off of Calvin, who's Aww. So dynamic and so cute.
That is so cute.
And I wear those I costumes on behalf of our work. And that is likely the most Cincinnati thing I've ever done, is wearing Truly. A mascot costume outside of the Barrymont Theater, waving to people and being like, come on in, the water's fine.
That's so funny. Okay, I think this is also my last question. But I have to know, what's your favorite movie you've seen so far this year?
Oh, man. Okay.
And I know, like, movie person.
It's so hard to pick.
Yeah.
But I had this experience where I was on an airplane and I was flying back from, where was I coming back from? I can't even recall right now. You know, you just have to pick something. Mm-hmm. I picked the new Liam Neeson Naked Gun movie, which is a throwback from some goofy cop movie back yes. in the day.
Yeah.
And I was like, literally spit taking out loud on this plane, being like, it's not that funny, Allison. It is like slapstick comedy. It is yeah. stupid puns and hilarious jokes. And the experience of watching something that was just kind of devoid of drama mm-hmm. and devoid of like existential dread made mm. me so happy.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
that one yeah. through and through was probably my favorite movie watching experience of this year. It does not, I'm not a film snob at all. I like understanding that there are real people on the other
with
side
the
of
Star
these movies.
Wars t-shirt with my Star Wars jacket. Yeah.
I'm enthusiastic yeah. about movies. I really am. But sometimes like you really get to talk to people who are problem solving and see how they did with that. And that's super exciting to me.
Yeah.
What's your favorite movie?
Of all time or this year so
this
far?
This year.
Oh my gosh. I have to
you
look
have to
at
go to your Letterboxd.
Yeah, I have to yes. go to my Letterboxd.
I love it. Follow Cindependent on Letterboxxd. We're up there.
I oh, will. Okay. I didn't yeah, know we'll you guys have one.
And my Letterboxd is full of a bunch of kid movies right now because I watch movies with my kids all the time. Yeah, what about you? Fair. What's your favorite this year?
Yeah,
that's hard. Dude, do I have to go to my Letterboxd?
Okay.
I love
Probably
it.
Something scary because I love Ooh, horror movies.
No, you
yeah,
do?
I do.
I psych myself out so hard when I watch horror movies.
They're my mom's favorite, so I grew up watching them. And I don't know, my favorite this year?
I think this
I feel
year,
like I know what you're going to say.
Do it at three. Say one, two, three,
and
then
guess. I
feel
like I know
guess.
What they both
okay,
might
ready?
Be.
Okay, ready?
Really?
Can I guess?
Yeah.
The Drama?
No, that's not one.
Mm.
Okay. Project Hail Mary.
But I haven't seen it yet.
Okay.
And the Michael Jackson
I was going to
oh,
say the Michael
cool.
Jackson movie.
I haven't seen either yeah. of them yet.
I love Michael Jackson, so it was really good. I
Man
thought.
In the Mirror.
Exactly. Bum, bum. See yeah. that yeah. girl.
I did see Michael. I haven't seen Project. I'm trying to read Project Hail Mary.
Yeah,
first.
Cool.
I read that too.
Smart.
It's You have to see it. It's truly so good. The visuals were amazing.
That's what I've heard.
Yes.
Well, I will see it. I will see it. I know. And he's so fun to watch.
Yes.
I cannot wait for the theater to be open so I can watch movies again.
Yes.
You know, it's going to be so awesome. Fun. Yeah. And I have the best job in the world.
Yes, you do.
Where I get to meet cool people all the time, talk to them about their ideas. And then every once in a while, I'll sit in a theater and enjoy a movie.
All right. Well, I think that wraps us up. Allison, awesome. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. This was great.
Yeah, it was fun. How was the podcasting debut? Good?
It was great. Yeah. I was a little nervous. No, that was super fun.
Awesome. All right. Thank you, Allison.
Yes, of course. Thank you.
So we just wrapped up with Allison West. She was so amazing. And also going back to 513 Day, one of Cincinnati's biggest foodie festivals, Taste of Cincinnati, is next week. And Hadiza and I had the honor of judging Best of Taste.
My favorite honor every year.
Yeah. And you did a lot more food tastings than I did. So tell me about it.
I did. So I judged the restaurant entree category and the dessert category back to back.
How many dishes was that?
Oh, I don't know, maybe 12 total or something crazy like that. Yeah,
that was crazy.
So, but I mean, I love free food. Who can really complain? Yeah, but it was really good. And this was your first time judging this year.
This is my first time. Yeah, I filled in for David for the desserts, which is, I mean, there couldn't have been a better category for me, honestly. It was great. I loved it. I still feel like my favorite dish was the bourbon bread pudding.
The bourbon. Yeah. And they placed.
It was so good.
Right? Yeah.
Yes,
that was really
third.
Good.
Yeah. What was your favorite dish of the day since you did multiple?
My favorite dish of the day was definitely the jerk chicken and oxtail from G's Caribbean Kitchen. They did not place, but they won gold in my heart. I feel so.
And that's what matters, truly.
And I love Caribbean food. I'm West African, so like you can never go wrong with like some Afro-Caribbean anything for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Alrighty. Well, the festival is the 22nd through the 25th, Memorial Day weekend.
Yes.
So you got to check it out. Be in downtown Cincinnati. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the That's So Cincinnati podcast, a production of The Enquirer and Cincinnati.com. Our producer today is the one and only Phil Didion.
If you enjoyed the podcast, please subscribe, give us a rating, and share it with a friend who loves all things Cincinnati.
Finally, if you value local journalism and haven't subscribed for full digital access to Cincinnati.com, now is a great time. Just go to Cincinnati.com and click on the subscribe button to see a special offer just for you.
Thanks again, and see you next week.